Hello, so my name's Emma Duggan and I'm Conservation Collections Care Manager here at Wellcome Collection. As a visual description, I'm a white woman in my mid-40s. I have shoulder-length dark hair with a fringe and today I'm wearing red lipstick. I head up the team that conserves and cares for all items in our collection. We can ensure our books, archives, manuscripts and artworks are at their best and can be safely shown in exhibitions, loaned out to other museums and handled for photography and research. Blythe House is the object store for Science Museum Group, and I was a conservation and collection care manager there for 13 years before joining Wellcome. I know the old girl very well, a true character. Many people who work there have a real love of their time in the building. Being an old building and not designed as a store, she could be cantankerous, but was a delight, full of hidden stories, unique smells and sounds. Blythe House was a building of contrasts. We'd spend a lot of our time working on our own in storage rooms, far away from everyone, but as soon as it was coffee time, we'd all gather through the wooden walkway known as the Chicken Run for drinks, Jaffa cakes and chats. It was very social. There were over 100 storage rooms in our part of the building, set out over 5 floors with mezzanines. The architecture of the rooms varied from large halls that once held bank clerks to smaller rooms with heavy safe doors for the valuables. That helped to shape the atmosphere and define the collection in each room. Some rooms would have their own distinctive smell, soap, herbs, camphor, or even vinegar from old quarantine film reels. Every room had a code. When you'd been there for a period of time, you'd reel off that you were in T26C but heading down to B30 if anyone needed you. This photograph by Jim Norton of the pharmacy room makes me feel quite nostalgic, to be honest. It shows a basement storage room which holds mostly pharmacy ware and syrup jars in maiolica, which is a glazed enamelled pottery, ceramics and glass. The photo was taken in a narrow aisle. On the left, there are tall grey metal cupboards for objects needing greater protection. What's inside the cupboards isn't shown, but they're used for items that could be light sensitive or friable, which means fragile. I can tell you that inside the cupboards there are things like beautifully shaped glass leach jars, large jars with gilded crown lids and ones that are used to hold preparations. The syrup jar containing oil of puppy dogs from Italy always stayed with me. On the right of the photograph, there are glimpses of objects of various sizes and colours on the open metal shelves. These shelves are open racking storage, suitable for more robust items. Nearest to us are clear and green glass vases and a bulbous earthenware vessel. Luggage labels with reference numbers and barcodes are tied to tapes around the objects. A temporary notice on bright green paper is stuck to one shelf. This indicates that a survey of collections has been done here as part of the move out of Blythe House. Each item has an individual reference number, which is searchable on the Science Museum's database. From there, you can find its location, history and condition, and how many times it's been on exhibition. It's a one-stop shop. At the far end of the room are a collection of mortars. Bowls used for grinding ingredients for medicine are arranged on 4 sturdy deep shelves. The lowest shelf holds huge mortars the size of garden tubs. The shelves above are filled with dozens of smaller metal and stone mortars, some shallow dishes, others shaped like urns, some with handles and decorative flourishes. The varied textures and greys and browns of the stone and ceramics create a satisfying pattern. To give some context on this room, the first floor of Blythe housed a conservation lab and photography studios. They'd be full of chatter and the sound of radio. The further you moved away, the quieter the building became, and it was full more of ambient sounds of the turnstile, keys jangling, or doors closing. For this particular room, you head downstairs, go down a corridor, turn left, and turn the lights on. Down an even longer corridor, through a safe door, and it's the room to the right. It's the perfect setup for a ghost story. The pharmacy and dentistry rooms feel like they're the furthest from everyone. Blythe is unlike any store I worked in or will ever work in because it had a warmth and history in its own right. Sometimes the Science Museum's telecoms curator would visit from the main site and play old shellac records on the thorn-tipped gramophone. If ever you're having a bad day, you could take yourself off and look at Indonesian masks, a Herschel telescope, or Art Deco X-ray kits. Every day was different. Hollywood visited. Blythe was a circus in Tinker Tailor. Nicole Kidman screamed down the corridors from the conservation studio, and Eddie Redmayne once left a box of walnuts in the logistics office. All's real, but very Blythe. What else would I want to share about Blythe? Only that I miss it. Last time I visited as part of this project with Jim Norton, it felt right to capture the essence of the building, and it was good fun. I felt a bit sad seeing the collections being packed up to go to the collection centre. I had a good few years with her, the amazing team and the collection. She's unforgettable.